Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yoda Speed, it's a sportive take two. We had some technical difficulties as we always do. I'm Brandon. John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
Stuart.
It's recording. I can see the little thing go. Oh, got the little spikes where my voice is, and it's got the little counter on the bottom that indicates time great. And temperature. It's great.
Good temperature. And we've got a special guest, our beloved Chicken Finger 69 is back. Hello, Chicken.
I'm here, Brandon. Before we pressed record, I was about to tell a story, and then I stopped. We saved it for the podcast. Then we started the podcast. You introduced me. And I started telling it. And then Stu had technical difficulties and stopped me. I'm not doing it a third time. Fuck it. I'm not doing it. It's over. Time's passed. It wasn't that great of a story to begin with. I'm not doing it. So I'm just going to say hello.
Too much, so.
I'm going to say hello, and we'll leave it at that. That's it.
You want? Should we talk sports?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, last week in this space, Chicken, you weren't here, but I trust that you listened to it and took notes, although we didn't get any, you didn't yell at any of us, so I wonder if maybe you didn't listen last week. But just to catch you up in case you missed it, there was one, I'll call him a hating-ass hater, John Marthaler, who didn't think that the Minnesota Vikings could win last week.
Yeah, and just so to review, I predicted was a 13-0 loss in which the Saints kicked 3 field goals and also sacked the Vikings for 2 safeties. That was my prediction. I was a little bit off.
So you started out as a 20-point loss. I tried to get you over to our side, the good side of the heroes and the champs, and you got over to 13, so it was the best we could do. But in any event, I was a believer. You were a hater. So I'd like to open up the floor here for your apology. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the best apology I've ever gotten. I think our lesson last week is pushing off works. It's good. We should do it more.
Come on.
Oh,
that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing.
Fuck you.
Ridiculous.
You piece of literal shit.
It was good.
Piece
it was a good push-up.
Human
it was a perfect push-up.
Shit.
It was effective. It actually worked.
Clean.
But not so egregious.
Clean.
That it wasn't. Just a little hand-checking.
You'll have to
I had confidence.
Excuse me, Brandon. You'll have to excuse me. I didn't see Williams turn around. Did you? Did he ever make a play for... Did he ever turn around once?
I didn't see much.
He couldn't
yet
turn
another
around.
Williams
he couldn't
left
turn around
because
he was holding on to Rudolph's jersey half the time. So, I mean, it's not like he can turn around and hold somebody at the same time.
Every 2 years, we ruin the life of a guy named Williams on the Saints.
He's holding on like a cat holding onto a tree. Like, just for dear life. They would need a fireman to get a fucking ladder and tear him off of Rudolph.
It was a fun game. It was a great game. It was a perfect amount of drama and nerves. Now, I have a little bit less of dread watching the Vikings as you guys do. So this one felt really good to me because it felt like our win expectancy was always pretty high. Like, it was never actual disaster, at least from my mindset. But it was still super dramatic and really, really, really exciting. I loved every second of it. Was so much fun.
Yeah.
In fact, it was so much fun, I started thinking, how many wins in the playoffs have been better than this for the Vikings? So I actually went and did a little bit of research. Do you want me to walk through some of my findings?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Thanks, are you going to tell more lies about the Vikings pushing off?
That's right.
If you are, then don't.
No
then
lies.
Stop. Let's move on
I'm
to
not doing
else.
This to troll you.
Okay.
If you say something bad about Anthony Carter, I'm going to do something with your track lighting in the basement that will disturb
<That's> right.
you.
Nope, I will say nothing bad about Anthony Carter. So here's what I did. I went and looked up all of our playoff, and I'm going to use our loosely, the Vikings, all of our playoff wins in history, and ranked them in order of best wins to just the least fun. They're all good, right? And I cut it off at 1985. So this has to be 85 or later.
Because you can't remember anything before 1985?
Correct. Also, I did some research, and I think before 1985, the NFL really sucked. It was stupid. It was not that popular. I looked up Fran Tarkenton, who's like amazing, right? One of the games to go to the Super Bowl, he was 12 for 27 for 143 yards and a pick. And then another game that was a big win for us, Chuck Foreman fumbled three times, and they had like 275 yards of offense. It just was a different game. It was not that great. One game in 1980, Tommy Kramer had five interceptions in one game. So just it was different. So it's 1985 is the cutoff. That's the rule. Okay. So there we have. Do you know how many playoff wins we have since 1985?
I'm going to say 19.
It feels like two. I think about two.
You guys are almost exactly halfway between. It's 11. 11 right. wins. Okay. So, number 11. Again, these are all good wins because they're wins. Number 11, 1988, we beat the Rams 28-17. We were favorites. The other team, both teams had like 300 yards of offense. Stu, you maybe remember this. Chicken, you may as well. Something called Allen Rice had 80 yards rushing. Hit a
Allen
touchdown.
Rice,
Joey Bauer had two picks. Allen Rice out of Baylor. They got their asses kicked by San Francisco the next week. So, ho-hum, victory. Yeah. Looked pretty boring. So, that's number 11. Okay, number 10, 2000. They beat the Saints at home. It was 34-16. It was never really a game. Vikes were huge favorites. This was the best players for the Saints were Aaron Brooks and Ricky Williams. So, they were bad. And the next week was 41 donuts. So, that just felt like not a great win either. Okay. The ninth best win, 1999, Jeff George beat a shitty Cowboys team 27-10, and then he was murdered, as were the rest of the Vikings, by the Rams the following week. Okay. 2009, Cowboys 34-3. This was the Brett Favre game. Do you remember this?
Vikings that was
not
a great game.
Much. It was a really
enjoyed,
fun game.
I enjoyed every second of that beating.
They kicked the shit out of them. It was super cool. Did. And what I forgot about this was the Vikings were only favored by three. The Cowboys were really good that year.
Yeah. I think every one of the, as we saw last week, I think every one on the pregame show picked the Cowboys to win that game.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is when we're getting into like pretty fun games. This was good.
Okay. I just want to state for the record that I remember that number 11 game in 1988, and I enjoyed every minute of that one, too. If we have, I mean, this is 11 playoff wins in, like, all of our lifetimes, all of our remembering lifetimes. So
they're all good. They're all good.
Yeah. Every one of these is to be cherished.
Okay. So we may, I don't know what to think about this one. I barely remember it. I'm going to need a, we can maybe re-rank them in a little bit, but for number seven, I put the 1997 playoffs when the Vikings beat the Giants 23-22.
Okay, this now was, you're crazy.
Is that
this
the
was
punt?
On an onside
is that
kick.
The Denny one where he was like, "No, I planned that all along."
Denny.
Yes, it was insane. I have no idea what to think about this one because they were not that great. This was the year before Moss, so they were like, okay, but the Giants sucked too, and they got the onside kick to Chris Walsh. So it's like a super dramatic and really fun, but also I feel like people were just annoyed with
it.
Again,
wasn't fun.
Denny Green at the time. So
I don't recall it being fun. My recollection at the end was like There's like the YouTube video of the guy that falls off of the ocean boat. Like he's swept off of the ocean boat and out into the ocean. And then the next wave brings the boat down and scoops him right back up out of the ocean. And he lands right back on the boat where he was, like, oh, that guy's fucked. And nope, somehow, amazingly, he's right back on the boat. And you're like, wait, that wasn't fun. It was more like, how did they win?
It was utterly mystifying.
If the guy then acted like, yep, planned on doing that all along, that the boat guy.
That's Denny Green.
That was Denny Green.
Just a review for people who don't remember this game. The Vikings were down 22-13 with 6 minutes to go and punted the ball away. Somehow got it back, kicked a field goal, scored another touchdown, which, as I recall correctly, Jake Reed caught a pass, barely got his feet into the end zone, and I think he still is buried in the padding at the end of Giant Stadium because he was going so crazily out of control that somehow the replay still said that he had his feet in bounds. But
from what we know about win probability and all that now, even after the win, Denny Green would have been fired the next month. Right? They had a new coach in between playoff victories.
None of it made any sense, and somehow they won. And I have to imagine that there's a Giants podcast right now discussing the all-time worst losses in Giants history. And that has to be on the list because there's no way to lose a game like that. Only the Glenn Mason Gophers and the Giants that year can lose games like that.
Right. So I don't know. That it gets points for drama and the craziness, I'm sure. But I don't know. I just wasn't sure where to put it. So
no,
put
you
it
prefaced
seven.
It by enjoyable, and that's why I bring it up. I think it's properly ranked because it wasn't enjoyable. It was confounding. It was.
Yeah, okay. If you're going memorable, it's probably in the top three. True.
Right. Okay, well, we'll see. 1987, this is the number six rank, best playoff victory ever, according to me. 1987, the Vikings beat the Saints 44-10. I don't remember this, a little bit too young, but what I figured out was we were 7-point underdogs, so very similar to this year, but it was actually just a piss pounding. It was 31-10 at halftime. The Saints had 149 total yards for the game. Like, that is just like the wrong, like a college team showed up.
The Saints turned the ball over like 49 times in that game, too.
This guy named Bobby Hebert, their quarterback. Yep. Bob Hebert got pulled. They put in a new guy, his backup. His name was Dave Wilson. He went 2-for-12 with 2 interceptions. Not a great day for Dave.
If your name is Dave Wilson, that is going to be your quarterback line. It does not matter at what level of the sport you play. If you're Dave Wilson and you're putting a quarterback, you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm.
That was written when you were born.
If I recall correctly, Tommy Kramer got either hurt or yanked at the start of that game, too, and Wade Wilson came in.
That was the postseason of Whiskey Wade. And Hassan Jones caught a Hail Mary at the end of the first half. And I think a lot of the reason the Vikings were underdogs, like, they barely got into the playoffs because that was the strike year, and they fielded the worst possible scab team. I mean, they just had, like, it was like 45 Chris Lindahls on their team, basically. It was all, like, you know, just realtors and butchers and, you know, bus drivers. They were just a horrible, horrible replacement team. And so they were really
instead of coaching the team. Jerry Burns played guard both ways, nose guard and offensive guard.
The actual team itself obviously was very good. They were a Darren Nelson drop away from the Super Bowl. So it was a very fun postseason.
Yeah, it was weird because of the strike, because they lost all their strike games because they were terrible, but they were pretty good apart from the strike, but they backed into the playoffs. And then nobody really gave them any chance because they were 8-8 or 8-7 or whatever. They ended that year, ended with that record that year. And so it was a pretty good team disguised as a team that was just happy to be there. And then they just absolutely murdered the Saints in that game. And the Saints turned the ball over a million times I think Anthony Carter returned a punt for a touchdown, if I remember right.
Yep, that
shit was just crazier back then. There were so many like games I remember as a kid where all of a sudden it was like, oh, this could be kind of a fun game, and then it ends up being like 59-3. You know, it just it doesn't really seem to happen much anymore, but this was certainly one of them. It's just a wild sport back then. Okay, moving on. Now we're in the top five. And again, I could be wrong about this. The fifth, I put the 1998 season, the cursed season, when we beat the Cardinals 41-21. We were 16.5-point favorites. I just remember being like, what an amazing season this all is. So again, low drama because they really just kicked the shit out of a pretty bad team. 41-21 is not even telling the story. It was something like 34-3 or something for seven for most of the game. So, but I feel like that was a really, really fun, easy victory. So I put that top five. I don't know. Maybe that 44-10 over the Saints was more fun, but it's where I placed it.
I think that one would have been my number 11, just because my memory of that game was like, why are they even playing that game?
Yeah. And
why even bother playing it? The Vikings are the best football team in the history of the world. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
I think I'm trying to just judge, like, what would have been the most fun.
It was enjoyable. That team was enjoyable.
You had a party, a football party, to watch the game. Where this is maybe the ranking order. Maybe that's how, the way I'm thinking of it. Because I think that would, that was probably a blast.
That was an absolute blast. That entire season, right up until it wasn't, was a blast.
Okay. And I have last Sunday's as the fourth best victory of our team's history.
Go on, it was overtime. But you're on thin ice, but go on, counselor.
Yeah.
Well, I have it as more fun than the rest of those because it was overtime and it was a victory. It's a pretty fun. They were big underdogs, which is also huge. And again, I think the factor for me was a ton of drama, but it never felt like, oh my God, they're blowing it. We're cursed. These guys are such idiots. There's no, you know, there was some shit that happened. It was intense, but it always felt like we're in this. We're going to be okay. You know, I'm sure there's a little bit of doomsday thinking just because, like, oh, we've blown worse things in the past, which is true for us and any team, I suppose. But just really fun and an overtime victory. Like, none of the other ones that I have here were overtime victories. That's crazy. It was so fun. And not only overtime, but just to get the ball and win, that was good. I liked it. That's so I have it fourth. Do you think that's too high or too low?
I think if I'm thinking of the other three, I think you've got it about right.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to
I will go through the last three and then you can tell me, maybe at the end you can tell me how I'm craziest, because John, I already know how you think I'm craziest. I have that 1998 okay. Top five. I shouldn't. Okay.
I'm going to interject really quick. Sorry. I did not get to see the second half of this game, the most recent game. I only saw the first half. So my opinion on it will be biased in the sense that I didn't get to see the overtime victory. I will tell you what happened. I saw the first half in a bar, then the second half I had to coach a hockey game. So we're playing this hockey game and we're beating up on this other team kind of bad. And when you're winning in youth hockey, they start running time. They don't stop the clock at whistles. So there's running time. It's
right.
Kind
if
of,
it's over a certain amount of
it's five or more goals typically.
There's no point. Yeah. Five goals.
So the game is kind of, you know, there's not a lot of noise. You know, the crowd is kind of lulled to sleep. Nobody's making any noise, and it's late in the third period, and we take a penalty. And it was a good call. Our guy tripped their guy. So our guy does, he does the trip. The ref puts his hand in the air. The whistle is blown, and our parents in the crowd go ape shit, like cheering. Like, what and I'm looking at him like, what the fuck is going on? They all start jumping up and down and screaming.
Chest
all the kids
bumps.
Stop. The refs stop. All the kids stop. They look up at our parents. I stop and look at them. And I finally figured out, now I understand what the hell's going on. I see the one mom like holding a phone in her hand, and they're bouncing up and down. But that's how I'll always remember this this hockey game is for a brief second going, what in the fuck are our drunken parents thinking? What?
Now, if I remember right, you had a similar to another one on this list that hopefully you can tell us when we get to that one too. Kind of a funny, not just sitting on your couch like most of us experience watching it. So
we'll see if I remember.
But we'll
that,
get
yeah.
to that.
Okay.
Okay, number three, 2004. We beat the Packers. Tice was our coach. Mm-hmm. We were big underdogs by a touchdown. Randy Moss had two TDs. Awesome game. Of course it gets points because Moss was involved, and all of us love the Moss years. Mm-hmm. And we were underdogs. But the most important thing, obviously, was they beat the Packers, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
awesome.
What I have as number three.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, number two, 1987. Stu, you remember this one.
Yep.
11-point underdogs. 11 points. That's insane over the 49ers. And they killed them.
Yeah, the Montana Rice Niners. Bill Walsh.
The Montana Rice Niners. Like the guys.
And it wasn't Montana like, got pulled. Yeah.
Beat
Montana
the
got
shit
pulled.
Out of them.
Yep.
They yanked Montana in that game.
Amazing.
It was close.
No, I mean, Anthony Carter, I mean, until Randy Moss, I don't think I've ever seen a wide receiver do anything like he did. They had no answer for him. And, I mean, Millard and Dolman were just killing Montana. I mean, it was not close, and nobody saw it coming. I mean, like, you know,
27-10 in the third, it was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was very happy with the Saints game, but it's like, well, they still got to take on the Niners. And, yeah, until number one on your list, it was the best Vikings playoff game of my lifetime.
So the game was played in San Francisco. Stu, do you think the reason the Vikings played so well in that particular game, and especially Dolman and Millard, is that in California, that cocaine is just that pure? Like, it's a different level of cocaine?
They all had hit their sweet spot there too. They knew how much to take. You know, they had done it for enough years, but they hadn't like gotten too addicted to it. 87 was really like, we're all very good at doing mm-hmm. cocaine.
Yes.
All the dealers could afford rent still because it hadn't really gotten teched out yet. So.
The justification.
And been pushed out into the East Bay. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm theorizing.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's good. Yeah. We're just brainstorming. We're not recording, obviously.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Number one with the bullet, Minneapolis Miracle, Diggs catch. Yep. Yeah, there's nothing that even remotely compares to that, and in all likelihood will not ever get close to that ever again. I mean, people who had no interest really at all, like, our wives, moms, etc., were like crying. Like that just there's never really been any drama like that. So, so that's the list, and that's an easy number one.
Yeah.
Now, Chicken, were you out and about during that one as well?
That one, yeah, you're right. At that one, I was at the Irish Sports Dome. So inside of that, they've got like batting cages and soccer fields and tiny television in the lobby. And by the end of it, you had all of the soccer players, all of the baseball players, the dads, the moms, a couple hundred, I don't know, gathered around this tiny television. You know, normally in a sports dome, there's just all this activity all over the place, right? Every little nook and cranny in January is filled with
everyone's
doing
moving.
Some activity. Yeah, and it was just
yep.
pure, there was no motion for, you know, a few seconds and then just pandemonium. When that catch happened, the place just went ape. The kids were throwing their gloves. The people were just running and screaming. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet. Yeah. That's an easy number one. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
all right. That's my list.
Yeah. I think I would just your arbitrary, start point. I would have to put a couple of games somewhere else, like probably below the top three. The 76 and 77 games against the Rams. 76 because it sent him to the Super Bowl, and it was on my brother's 5th birthday, the day after Christmas. I remember that one because that was at Met Stadium, and Bobby Bryant blocked a kick in the first quarter, and I don't think they trailed after that. And it was like 4 degrees out, so it was super, super heckin' cold. See, I didn't even swear in front of my daughter that time. That was pretty cool. And then the year after that was the Mud Bowl. That was Bob Lee was the quarterback because some guy from the Bengals like completely blew up Fran Tarkenton's head like in November. So Bob Lee had to do it, and it was like a pouring, a downpour in Los Angeles, and the game is on YouTube, and like it was just, it was boring as hell, and I think it went only lasted like 2 hours, because I mean it was just all running, because I think the final was 14-7, and the highlight of the game is if the end of it, the CBS crew turns to the celebrities in the crowd, and there's O.J. Simpson watching the game with two women on his at his side, and and the cocaine was flowing. Let's put it that way.
Really fresh. So the,
and yeah, so I remember those two things quite clearly from, since again, I'm 1,000 years old. So I would put them somewhere. If you kick it back 10 years, throw those somewhere in the top 7 or 8 too.
Gotcha. But really the top three, they'll feel like they, the 87 Niners, the Packers in 04, and then the Minneapolis Miracle feel like really good, crazy, memorable things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if last week's game leads to anything else, maybe that'll get moved up a little bit. But you know, we're on to San Francisco, guys.
We are on to San Francisco. Yeah, I feel like it's going to be a very similar. You know, the line on the game is I think 7 or 8, very similar to what it was.
Thank God. I mean, that gives me the most hope for them actually pulling it off because, again, we talked about the Zimmer red ass factor last week. He loves this shit. And he also, like, I mean, he dialed up the best, you know, defense of the year last week just by the dumbest, easiest thing as well. Let's see, they have 2 really good tackles, so we're going to move our 2 really good outside guys inside. And they didn't figure it out until the fourth quarter. So
is that legal?
The simplest guy, like it's just like Cousins play action, the simplest, easiest thing, and people can't figure it out. So, and again, the Zimmer red ass thing is like he's like, oh, we're underdogs again, and he just seems to feed off of that. The guys feed off of him, and God, that was the most K fan I've ever sounded. The guys feed off him. Sorry about that, everybody. You didn't.
Wow.
You don't download to hear me talk like that. You download for the Father John Misty references as they pertain to the Minnesota designated hitter. But yeah, I think it's a coin flip. San Francisco is really legitimately, I think they're the number one seed for a reason. But yeah, Vikings could probably win that game.
Yeah, it's interesting. Was it last week? I think, Stu, you were the one that pointed out that for some reason, the Vikings defense plays Drew Brees really well.
Yeah.
Like, he just has never really done that. Yeah. So, I don't know if it's necessarily a Brees thing in the playoffs or what, but I'm certainly not scared of Jimmy Garoppolo. He is, he's been fine. He's, like, he's essentially, I looked up QBR, he is almost mathematically the same exact quarterback as Cousins. So there's no, like, advantage there quarterback-wise. So that's not really a thing. And they're skill position guys. George Kittle is good.
Kittle's fantastic. John,
he's amazing, but our linebackers are, like, really good, right? Aren't we known as having so, you know.
If healthy. Question for John. Was George Kittle halfway this good at Iowa?
I think the real upset is that George Kittle didn't play guard in the 1980s NFL.
I mean,
picture a guy named George Kittle with a flowing handlebar mustache being pictured on a football card in the 1988 top set.
I mean, I know perfect. the only thing Kirk Ferentz likes are, like, you know, is punting at on 4th and 2 from the opponent's 29-yard line. That's his thing. It's not about coaching up tight ends.
That's the thing about college football at Iowa is you have no idea whether any of the players are any good or not because they got Iowa all over them. And the same applies to any other college football team that goes to Iowa City to play Iowa.
God, I fucking
hate Iowa. You could put the 40 if the 49ers and the Vikings played this game in Iowa City at Kinnick, it would end 13-6. I don't know who would win, but it would 13-6. All field goals, 14 turnovers, 7 for each team, 2 block punts. It would just be an affront to the game of football because that's what happens in Iowa City.
You know what, John? I think I have a theory that Iowa purposely set up their tradition just to piss me off, in the sense that I have no problem making fun of really any school, and especially I really enjoy making fun of Big Ten school. You know, like Wisconsin's jump around. Fuck that. Yeah. It's just so fucking stupid, and it's amazing that the stadium doesn't collapse. And
asking an entire state that can't jump to jump is funny.
It's just the irony. I think Iowa sat there and said, okay, we got this dipshit in Minnesota named Chicken Fingers 69 that makes fun of Big Ten football traditions. What can we do to test this motherfucker and see if he will make fun of us? How about we start with sick children in a hospital? Let's start there. Let's see if that motherfucker will make fun of that. Then let's wave at those sick children. That's what we'll do. We'll wave at them and see. Make fun of that, bitch. That's what they've thought up. And I can't do it. I'm not going to do that. They got me.
They got you.
Anyways. No, I mean, it's you can't do it. Yeah, you can't do anything with it. It's so perfectly humane, and Cominaldi just cries the minute he sees a story about it, and yeah, it's you can't touch it, and it's
deep. Tom Rinaldi cries when he sees a banana at the grocery store that's not as part of a bunch anymore.
That's true. Today at this Piggly Weekly, one banana stood alone.
Tinkly piano music.
Oh, we got off track. I'm chicken, sorry. George Kittle.
Chicken, how are you feeling about the game? Feeling good?
Oh, they're going to lose. No, they're good. Vikings are going to lose by so much. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. You worried? They're crisp. Their defense is good. Kirk Cousins is going to turn into a mere mortal.
What happened last time that they won an unexpected playoff game late? They had an unexpected playoff victory late. Right. That was exciting. What happened the next week? I mean, it's a lot to overcome, guys.
It wasn't great.
I did realize last week that what this does mean is if the Vikings do win on Saturday, then we got another NFC Championship game coming, and I am in no way mentally prepared to deal with that.
Is it possible that Vikings team was kind of a smoke and mirrors team? They were good, but again, it felt a little bit like found money with Case Keenum and again, that victory. Where this Vikings are good. They're like a very good team. Point differential, DVOA, all that.
I would like to submit the Week 16 game against Green Bay in evidence against this assertion.
Right. Okay, how about this? The Niners are not that great. I mean, they're okay,
Niners,
but...
No, they're really good, man.
They were one inch away from being a 5 seed.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw them just destroy Green Bay. I saw them beat up New Orleans at the Superdome. I mean, they're a good team, man. But I still think I'm not as down on the Vikings as Dr. Fingers is. I think they've got a chance to win this one.
I can't do it.
How about this one?
I won't get excited about a Vikings team ever again in my life. I made myself that promise in 1999.
That's fair.
And I've held myself to that now for 20 years. I'm not starting now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to start now.
As friend of the show, Parker Hageman, has advised us, just stay dead inside.
Always. It's the only way. What about momentum? Just kidding. Sorry. Can you imagine? Sorry. Never mind.
I love the dead silence after that.
The what now?
The momentum.
What?
of the momentum of Tennessee beating, finally getting putting the stake through the heart of the Patriots dynasty, is going to run into Lamar Jackson this weekend. Good luck with momentum, boys. Jesus.
Well, I was going to say.
Sorry. I wanted to get Dr. Fingers' reaction to the Patriots' loss on Saturday night when Bill Belichick's protege used like that weird clock burning rule, the loophole to just totally frustrate Belichick, and Tom Brady looked like he was 75 years old. I just wondered if Dr. Fingers had a reaction to that game. I don't know if he had one or not.
I'll do another stupid anecdote. I was sitting in bed, and there was we have this brand new little puppy that's just a fucking piece of shit terror, and it was finally sleeping next to me. Finally. So I was trying everything I could not to move or make a sound like a newborn sleeping, basically, right? And Brady threw that pick six to end the game, and I couldn't control myself. I jumped out of fucking bed, woke the goddamn dog up, like pump-fisted. I'm in my boxers and nothing else, just pump-fisting me and this stupid dog in the bedroom. Just I did a little dance, and it jumped up and down, and then I had to go take it outside, freezing effing cold, because if it wakes up...
Worth it.
Inevitably, it says, I have to pee. Totally worth it. Entirely worth it.
Totally.
God, it was awesome. Fuck yes. Pick six. What was there, like 25 seconds left? And the ball, Tennessee punted down to like the half-yard line. And I thought, how are the Patriots going to cheat to win this game? How is this going to be possible? There's like 25 seconds. They have to go 99 and a half. Well, no, excuse me. Field goal range, so 60 yards or whatever it was going to be. In 20 seconds with no timeouts. How are they going to do this? And then first play, pick six. God, it was awesome. Game over.
Yeah, I did not expect that. Yeah. I didn't expect them to come back and win, but I didn't expect that. Yeah. It was just like such a quick kill shot.
Yeah.
No, quick but kill
I
mean, shot.
I half expected like on Sunday morning to wake up and I'd be seeing like, oh, it's in overtime seven and James White just caught a dump off pass to win the game. I just, you know, that's just... They decided to put time back on the clock because of some, you know, some codicil in the Faber Charter.
Arcane 1917 rule. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. It's, I couldn't, my eyes, I did not trust what my eyes saw.
The Bills, like, well, in 1933, the Duluth Eskimos initiated rule 1742.A, and we get 7 seconds back. Fuck. Nope. Dead.
Yeah, amazing. Ryan Tannehill. We all knew he would be the guy.
And he was terrible. He was terrible.
He was so bad.
Yeah.
And they still won.
And until this year, Derrick Henry was a bust, and now he's almost as good as Dalvin Cook. I mean, football's weird, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so do we want to do score predictions? Vikings?
Sure. Don't cost nothing.
Okay, I'm saying 24-23 Vikings.
Wow. That's bold.
Yeah. I mean, they're both this equal teams, so my I have two questions. Why not us? Why not now? Yep, 24-23.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stu, what do you got?
Vikings 23, San Francisco 20.
Hell yeah. Getting on board. Jonathan, are you still here?
I'm going to go Niners 13, Vikings nothing.
How are the Niners going to 13, John?
Quick follow-up.
Niners are going to score two touchdowns but miss an extra point, Stu.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I guess that's obvious. Okay, and Chicken.
Niners 100, Vikings 0, running time.
Oh, God. How did I not see that coming? Damn it. Okay, and then for the rest of the NFL, this should be a super fun weekend. I love this weekend for football. The Ravens are like 10-point favorites over the Titans. Now, I assume that the Ravens, again, with that line, will probably win. And I am rooting for the Ravens on this one. It's usually more fun to root for the underdogs, but, I mean, Lamar Jackson, he's incredible to watch.
Amen.
Yes, he's so much fun to watch.
Okay. And then Chiefs, Texans. I think I'm going Chiefs for this one, rooting interest-wise.
Why?
Again, Mahomes.
What? Oh, God.
Fuck you.
The second he started those State Farm commercials, I'm out. Him and Aaron. Fucking giving HJs. I'm out.
Huh. So if Deshaun Watson was in those,
Then I'm out on Deshaun Watson. Then I don't know. Once that happens, we'll cross that bridge. It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
I'm out.
Right. Interesting. No, I like the Chiefs a lot. I like the city. I like Kansas City. It's fun to have an AFC team to root for.
Why do you like Kansas City? Do you have a reason besides barbecue that you like Kansas City?
Well, why do I need a second reason?
I don't know. It's a sprawling, poorly organized town that has nothing to recommend it except for barbecue restaurants.
And 97% humidity, but that's...
And, I mean, Andy Reid looks like the mayor of a town that's made out of candy.
I mean, the barbecue still makes it beat a lot of other cities. It's drivable and warm.
I mean, if it's Kansas City versus Omaha, I guess I'm going to take Kansas City, but...
Yeah, I mean... Warren Buffett tried to warn us about 2008. I think I'm taking Omaha.
It's... Well, I don't know. I'm okay. I'm okay with Kansas City. I'll say that.
Well, I know you said you love the city. Now you're walking.
Yeah, you said it was a great city.
Literally 45 seconds you've walked it back to you're okay with it.
I'm ambivalent on Kansas City.
No,
you just said Frank White's Royals career was underappreciated.
I have not heard of this city. What are you talking about?
Brandon right now is wearing a Kevin McReynolds jersey and just crying, tears rolling down his cheeks.
No, that's fine. Love your Chiefs.
You should have appreciated Brett Saberhagen when you had the chance. You knew you'd miss him. God damn it.
Dan Quisenberry was a Hall of Famer.
I am a dad. I have to drive to places for some vacations at times. If I got to pick one within like 7 hours, that's the one. It's Kansas City. It's warm.
What do you? Food's you good. Love Chicago. You've said before on this
Chicago,
podcast
dude.
That you love Chicago.
I'm a big Chicago guy, but I'm not taking my kids there. I'm a dad. I started this with I'm a dad.
Oh,
what
Chicago
about Milwaukee?
With kids. Okay.
Okay. Is Milwaukee better than Kansas City?
What about Madison?
Is Madison better than Kansas City?
If the standard is drivable within 7 hours, Brandon may have something there, but that's like Winnipeg is a pile of shit. But like, can you get to Yellowstone in 7 hours? What do you have against natural beauty, Brandon?
Do you want Bob Hamlin to sign your rookie card? Is that what it is?
Sign my rookie card and park my car from valet. That's what Bob Hamlin can do for me. Those two things. I think Kansas City is better than Milwaukee. Am I wrong?
I've never been to Kansas City. Awesome. I don't know. I'm just throwing out cities.
Just we're getting to the naming cities part of the podcast.
Sioux Falls.
The geography. Our famous geography segment.
Let's think of other cities. What other cities are within 7 hours? Let's see how many.
Thunder Bay, Ontario. Now there's a city.
East Grand Forks. What do they have?
I don't know. Stahl Brothers Museum.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you got a problem with I didn't know Kansas City was a hot take that I had. I thought it was a fine town.
No, that's bullshit. It's a garbage opinion. And fuck you.
I'm still rooting for the Chiefs over the Texans.
So stupid.
The Texans are dumb. I mean, I like Watson, but Mahomes is more fun to watch. So what else does
front runner?
Yeah.
Rooting for any AFC South team feels wrong.
There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's like eating dinner at a grocery store. It's possible, but it just doesn't feel right.
That's a good point.
Is it specifically the AFC South to you?
Yes, the whole AFC South.
Hmm.
Gotcha.
When I saw that there were multiple AFC South teams in the playoffs this year, I thought, was there some sort of qualification rule I don't know about? That can't be right, can it?
Who's in the Texans? Are you saying the Chiefs are in the AFC South? Is that right?
No, the Texans are in the South.
Oh, gotcha. Right. Okay. Good. So you're with me then.
Once again, the geography portion of the podcast really is doing very well.
We fire on all cylinders. Obviously, Vikings over Niners, and then obviously Seahawks over Packers.
Can you, Brandon,
Seattle's going to beat the brakes off of Green Bay. They're going to kill Green Bay. It's going to be awesome.
Both those teams suck, which is incredible to me. This is like there's only four NFC teams left, and both of them are essentially 500 teams. Should be, point differential-wise, whatnot.
Brandon, you're good at defending really bad arguments. Can you help me with something that I'm struggling with? There are people that want Green Bay to win so that the Vikings can play Green Bay in the NFC Championship game because they think that would be enjoyable beating the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to beat the Packers, so they're cheering for them to win.
Mm-hmm.
Can you defend?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's my God. That is such wishful. No, that's terrible. It's like wanting to go into full bankruptcy to use your money to win the lottery just because it would be really fun to win the lottery without any money in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Screwing yourself over for a slight chance of good things happening later. You'd never do that.
No.
It's bad. These people are trolls, internet trolls. Anonymous.
Do you think that? So you think that's it? They don't really feel that way. They're just trying to. I mean, I don't understand acting that way on the internet, but they're just saying things.
Well, man, I mean, the power. You know, yeah, of course.
So they say things they don't.
You
really
don't understand.
Get a rise out of people.
Yeah, you don't really understand trolling. You don't understand anonymity on the internet. This is all foreign to you.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not sure.
I'm
not sure I'm following.
Delusional. The power of delusion is, I mean, it's powerful. It's insane. So
delusion
I guess
is the
if you
solution.
Get into this sort
That's
of
what
fantasy
I always say.
Sort of space, of course, the best case scenario, I suppose, would be beating the Packers to go to the Super Bowl.
That's not best case.
No,
the best
that's
case
not
is
even
the Packers losing this weekend. That's always, the Packers losing is always the best case scenario.
The best case scenario is beating whoever to go to the Super Bowl and the state of Wisconsin sliding into Lake Michigan and being forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah, if we're going to put on the spectrum of 0 to 10 in terms of sports happiness, the Vikings going to the Super Bowl is just a 10. Like they're it's not going to be any extra just because they beat the Packers rather than beating the Seahawks. It doesn't really fucking matter at that point, right?
Right.
And don't discount the fact that then the Packers fans get a weekend of happiness for beating Seattle. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't
exactly.
want that. I don't want a minute of happiness. I want the opening of Seattle to be
returned. And also, our option of them losing this weekend or them losing next weekend... they're still losing. We still get the happiness no matter what, right?
Yes, that's my overall.
It's sort of like when people have a kid and they don't want to find out the gender because they want it to be a surprise, right? It's a surprise either way. It's a surprise at 20 weeks or it's a surprise at 40 weeks. You don't lose the surprise. It's just a different time for the surprise. You don't. There's no pro to that con. So in this, yes, they should lose immediately. We want them to lose immediately, and then we want to beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And that is the dream scenario.
As a Vikings fan, do you want to play against Green Bay and the refs in the NFC Championship game? Do you really want that?
Absolutely not.
No.
Even if it was written out beforehand that the Vikings would win, just no thank you.
Nope.
I don't want any. I just.
Okay. Well, it's good to know that we're on the same page.
Yeah. Imagine that week of the annoyance of all these Packer fans with, like, the weird trash talk, unimaginative, crass, uncouth, really just grade F trash talk. We'd have to just endure it all week long.
Yeah, right. Well, the Wi-Fi at Family Court is robust. They can really leave a solid Facebook insult for you.
They have so much time waiting in line at court. Yes. Whoever told you that, chicken, you are very free to troll them.
Yeah.
Will do.
It was probably Michael Rand. It was almost definitely Michael
It was. Rand. Let's cut the bullshit. It was. It very much was.
He's just looking for an angle, man. He's a you know these journalists, the lamestream media. All right, that's all the football I had. I have no other football talk.
Wow.
Anyone else?
No, it's good.
Nope. I'm footballed out.
Unless what? Well, what's going to be the next topic?
I just. The only other thing I can think of for football is just this discussion has made me start making a contingency plan, like a what if the Vikings actually do play the Packers in an NFC Championship game. Like,
none of us
how
are
far away? How far away would my family have to be? Should I be in my own home, or where would I be where I have the least chance of damaging myself or anything else? What should be my plan there? There's
a
lot of areas.
Can you
rent
out a padded room?
Right.
John?
Listen, yes.
Can you hear my voice, John?
Yes.
Seattle is the better team. They have the better quarterback and the better defense. They'd have a better running game, but like our top 17 running backs all got hurt. So they have Marshawn Lynch and Homer Simpson are their two running backs. So and Green Bay, if they were smart, would like focus. They have a very good running back, but I don't think their rookie head coach is going to let Aaron Rodgers let the running game win a playoff game for him at Lambeau. So, So I think Seattle will win that game. They'll win it handily, and if somehow the Vikings can pull it off against San Francisco, they will be playing against Seattle. You don't have to worry about a Vikings Green Bay NFC Championship game.
I'm not worried about anything yet. I'm just making contingency.
Well, no, I mean,
it's good to think through it. Then you'll know how to react in the moment. It's smart.
Well, yeah, you should. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's like contingency plans for everything, but I don't think it's a top of mind worry.
Ugh.
Everything would have to go extremely good for the Vikings and extremely bad for America for this to happen.
I think my only strategy is if the Vikings beat the 49ers. I plan to be drunk for that game, and if the Packers are also involved the next week, I'm just going to spend the next week of my life completely drunk.
God, that's a great plan.
This is a public notice to employers. Yes, employers, officers of the law, anyone else who I might come into contact
that's
week.
That's not necessary, John. I've looked into it.
Leave me be.
You don't need to formally notify anybody to be drunk all week. Otherwise, I'm in.
It's free country.
A lot of trouble.
Yeah, if that law got changed, then Chicken has some phone calls to make.
Yeah.
All right, that's my only other football thought.
Great. Okay, let's get to our next segment, probably our last segment. This is another episode of our world-famous segment called Sports Fixers. This is where we throw brilliant ideas out into the world of how to fix certain elements of our favorite sports. And then most likely, it hasn't happened yet, but it will pretty soon here, they do come to fruition at some point, and then we take credit for them. So we do the first part, then we just sort of wait. So this week, John has asked to take the floor.
I have, more than anything, I have a question, and this is directed mostly at Brandon because it's NBA-related and somewhat directed at Stu, and I can only imagine how Chicken is going to approach this question.
He's never going to come back. We should have tabled this for next week.
So one of the things that people talk a lot about with the NBA is how the season should be shorter. And there's this constant give and take with between the players and the league and the TV and how do we keep revenue up if they're going to shorten the season. I think everybody agrees that it would be better if the season was about 60 games long or so, but they can't figure out how to make that work revenue-wise because there'd be so much lost revenue. And I'm on record as saying the best idea would be just to have every team play every other team twice and cut down the playoffs, and that seems like it would be fine. But knowing that there's that give and take between the revenue and the length of the season, here's my question. So the NBA season starts the last week of October and goes through like the second week of April, maybe like 5.5 months, maybe stretching to 6, depending on how you feel about the preseason. Why don't, instead of shortening the season, why don't they just extend that out to like a 9-month season?
Mm.
The NBA finals end in June. Why don't they start again about August 10th and just spread the games out a little bit more?
So the same number of games.
Same number of games, but instead of waiting until hockey season starts. Is there any reason that you can't play basketball games in August? Clearly there's not, because the WNBA plays in the summer. So there's nothing preventing those arenas from getting used. It's not like when the league was founded in 1948 or whatever, when those arenas were used for horse shows all summer or whatever.
There's no reason
you can't play NBA games in August, so why not just stretch it out?
Do you think the players would want that?
I don't know what the players would want, but it's not like they go off and everybody just goes on a cruise for 4 months and then has to start getting back in shape. Like, this is 1963. They all pretty much start working out about a week after the season ends.
Yeah, that's true. Going to be my first thing, though, of like, they do probably want some sort of like, I want to let my body go to shit for 2 weeks and then I can get back in the gym for another X amount of time. And finally, when spring training camp starts and all that sort of stuff, it ends up being they need the time off, maybe. But I don't know, man. I would love basketball always being around.
How long is the off season now?
For teams like the Timberwolves, the off season is 6 months long.
Yeah, probably pretty close. Like from game to, you know, last game to first game sort of stuff. They have training six camp months. And all that sort. Okay. But I bet they probably get at least 3 months to like, we'll see you in 3 months, like a summer vacation sort of deal. It mimics hockey pretty closely, right?
And under your proposal, John, how long would the off season be?
For the sake of this proposal, I'm going to say the NBA season would now start the first week of August. Therefore, for the teams that were in the finals, the offseason would be about 6-7 weeks long. For the teams that weren't in the finals, and I'm also in favor of cutting down the playoffs a little bit, so maybe we could end the finals before Memorial Day, and everybody could have 2 months off and then start again the first week of August. That seems fair.
Here's my concern, John. Well, okay. Here's my concern. I believe that NBA fans, more than most professional sports, enjoy the drama of things that do not occur on the court just as much as the actual sport on the court. They, if not more, because I watch it and I don't see how in any way it's enjoyable, but I find there are people who do enjoy the actual sport, but just as much, if not more so, they like the what team is this free agent going to pick? What trades can we come up with? Because one player is so important in basketball, trades can be so monumentally important. That's fun for a lot of fans, that off-season speculation. On free agents, on trades, on, you know, is Steve Kerr going to ignore China's social injustices? All of these things that occur during the off-season. I think people enjoy the NBA fans in particular enjoy the off-season and the drama that occurs just as much as the actual sport itself. Shrinking that to just a 6-week period when it was like a 4-month period, do you think that that could impact that part of fans' enjoyment?
Well,
I do love the drama. I'm a messy bitch who loves drama.
I do know that the other day I ran across an article that was
wine mom thing I've ever heard. I can hear a hockey mom saying that exact thing entirely serious.
You know what? I have to admit it. I am a messy bitch who loves drama. Sorry, John. Keep going.
Sorry, John. Go ahead. Oh,
I will say the other day I ran across an article. It was focused on who is going to have the most money to spend next year in free agency. And broadly speaking, I thought that I understood how free agency worked and how salary caps worked, but I read that entire article about who had cap space and who had max contracts and who had this kind of exception or that kind of exception, and I very quickly realized that at some point the business of the NBA and the roster building rules of the NBA got away from me, and now they are utterly mystifying to me. So maybe there are NBA fans who really enjoy talking about who has what exception left and what they might do with that exception and max contracts and whatever, but it seems to me that people like that only because they don't have another option.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, specifically, though, you do need to do a lot of, like, businessy team-building stuff in that little off-season, free agency and other signings and all the movements that have to happen throughout that. It's not the off-season's not just about rest.
I don't know. So, John, I mean this with all respect in the world. I really do. I'm not sure that you're the most prototypical NBA fan. You may be the oldest NBA fan in the world. And I don't mean age-wise. I mean just personality-wise, you are by far.
It's true.
Bob Cousy would be, if he could come back, you would do a cartwheel.
Listen, pistol. Bill Russell. Now there was a man you could set your watch by.
Set your watch by it.
And you still enjoy the NBA, but I don't think that you're the demographic that they are longing for.
Yeah, I think that you definitely need a little bit longer off-season for lots of different things. Other team, like there's other world championship stuff that happens in the summer that teams need to go do or players need to
nobody,
go do.
Well, I take it back. I was going to say nobody plays in the world championship, but the correct statement is nobody American plays in the world championship.
Correct. Yep, a lot of other guys like to do it. But I do think starting just a few weeks earlier even would help spread it out, and it'd be better. But it is an interesting thing about the NBA, and I think it may be unique to the NBA, is thinking about this player getting traded to that team is a conversation I could have about almost any player, any potential trade, and thinking through how that would look and how that team would work, just because there's so much, like, they have to play with each other. So there was, like, a rumor that Ben Simmons would be traded for D'Angelo Russell. And I could have easily gone out for a happy hour with another guy and talked about that for, like, an hour, which is insane. This is the stupidest. It's not going to happen. It's a rumor. I would never do that with any other sport. Like, if someone's like, oh, Mike Trout might get traded to the Dodgers, you'd go, oh, all right, well
that's my
point.
Happens.
Who gives a shit? Like, I don't care. Or, like, football, if you're like, Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson could get traded for each other. You'd go, oh, wow. Real? Okay. Well, yeah.
Interesting.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't give a shit. There's no other. Is hockey maybe if.
Nah, I think football's the next, because I do think there'd be a lot of discussion around Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers getting traded for each other. But it doesn't.
But no, it's not even they got traded. There's a rumor that they might get traded. I would love to just go, boy, I wonder how would that work. So then Aaron Rodgers be there. And then does that mean that he'd be scrambling more or less because of this offensive? Whatever. But like in basketball, we do that all the time, and it's legitimately interesting. So I do like that stuff, but the hype but at the end of this happy hour about Ben Simmons and D'Angelo Russell, we leave and the trade never happens. It still would have been fun for me. I know that sounds insane. It is insane.
I'm just asking questions, John. I'm not, look, I'm not in favor of the NBA expanding its season. Jesus Christ. That's my hell. But
we'd be talking about it even more. I mean, we're going to be talking about it no matter what, Chicken. Do you want us to be talking about off-season drama, or do you want us to be talking about the X's and O's of what happened last game? Is it all terrible to you, or can you at least get on board with some of it because it's funny or weird or interesting?
No, I can't get on board with any of it. I think
it's all bad.
I mean, I got it. I look at the Wolves and I look at it and I find it remarkable that you're even fans still. I think that this Rosas character has been a complete failure already and nobody can see it. And you're all just hopeful. And Kat has got a calendar on his wall with like a red Sharpie just crossing off the days until he can get out of here. And
you're just like, I'm getting paid today again. I haven't done a thing. Prison. I've never shown up to the office. It's amazing.
I'm sorry, Alec.
I love the long view. You know that.
I want them to make you happy is what I want. And I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Nah. Nope. I have no.
That's like asking for your uncle who's been in prison. I just want him to straighten up and get off the heroin. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
No, it's not going to happen. I'm going to love my uncle anyway. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, he's a hero.
People don't change.
He's got the good shit, man.
He's got good drugs. I mean, it's incredible. You guys ever tried heroin? It's unbelievable. Number one.
It took a turn.
And let's look. Yeah, we are past the hour mark of the podcast.
All right, best drugs ranking. the top 27 that I've tried. Oh boy, John! I think of all the ideas we've had, this is a pretty good one. It's good. I like
this.
It
is one of them.
It's no rocket skates, but it's still above average.
We did go back and look at the proposed NBA fixes that we had. It was in episode 3, if you can believe that. In 2013, we proposed a number of NBA fixes, because in your last episode you tried to name the four wide receivers in the Houston Oilers run and shoot offense.
Run and gun offense.
And I had recalled that we tried to do that one time before, but just because I thought it was funny that the Sportive Podcast has now twice tried to name all of the four wide receivers. Like, you've covered, the podcast has now covered everything that's ever happened.
Think
in
of the most boring
ever.
Trivia you could ever think of. We did it twice,
and now we're circling
all,
back.
We've covered all the markers to show just how out of ideas we are. That one was the one that finally got us.
Am I going crazy? Because I swear the podcast has done this before. No, I was right. Episode 3, all four Houston Oilers wide receivers.
I mean, to be fair, we've done almost 300 episodes of the podcast, and on every one of them I've talked about how the Wild are in salary cap jail and they're getting old and they don't have any ways to improve. So.
So there's that. That's been covered 297 times.
Then we fuck up some geography.
All four Oiler wide receivers twice.
We get an argument about...
Did you go back and listen to the whole episode or just like...
Not the whole thing, but part. I did catch the NBA fixes that were proposed. If you all very quickly, one of them was 7 second shot clock.
That was remember this one.
7 second shot clock.
Yeah, just from half court shots. Yeah.
Wasn't there another one about punching people?
Well, if you get a technical foul, you get 3 points. You gain 3 points for
right.
committing a technical foul.
It's a good clothesline. That's 3 points right there.
It's got to be a legit clothesline, not this kind of ticky tack soft crap that they call now. Like
right,
you got
to like
land
like a 1980s yep. clothesline.
Both feet off the floor.
Dick Buck kiss, like your arms taped up into a club. Dick Buck kiss clothesline.
Jack Tatum.
Jack, yes.
Is that a guy?
No timeouts. That was one of them. And every offseason, the teams are picked out of a hat. Rant. The entire rosters are reshuffled. All the names of all the players are thrown into a hat, and all the teams are repicked out of a hat every summer.
So we really started on a high, and then it's all kind of been downhill from there, because that's pretty good content.
That's gold. That's great content. And
named
right
all the named all the Oilers. That was our third one. John and I sat down and we said, we're going to be good at this. And then by the third episode, we're like, hey,
we're
who, are
do a lot
Oilers,
of
who are the Oilers receivers? What were they? Yeah. Wow. We ran out of steam so quickly.
And that was 7 years ago and 200, almost 300 episodes ago. And I'm sure after that we were thinking, okay, we're going to improve. Like
we got to get better. Somehow.
It's going to take some time.
We can't do that Oilers thing again. If anything, we learn anything, never do that Oilers bit again.
It's just going to be some practice. That Malcolm Gladwell, you just got to keep put in the reps. We'll get better. And
yeah, right. 70. We're just kind of getting our feet wet. Oh, boy. Well, here's to maybe 7 years from now. Yeah. 2027. That's when we'll finally have hit our stride.
Fast
episode
forward
300 2027.
Fast forward. Rank the top drugs that we've done.
I wasn't kidding about the heroin. Oh boy. Well, what do you think? Should we call it? I think that's probably enough.
Yeah, it's yep. getting. It's 10:30 for Christ's sake.
My Holy God.
Crap, it is.
Look at us. All right, cool. Well, Chicken, so happy to have you back. This is a fun one. Hope to hear your sweet voice again. And go Vikings.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings.
Skull dipshits.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.